too.
Let's go to Revelation chapter 6.
I'll bend it over. Revelation 6.
In order to be sure you understand Revelation 6, you have to remember Revelation 4 and 5, which showed the finishedness of the work of the Lamb and the 24 courses of the elders fell down and worshipped, and the four beasts fell down and worshipped. Everything was done. And now, the rest really of Revelation is to show how man can never accept that it's done. And so, it's interesting. I get up real early this morning and I put the four horsemen of the apocalypse in me. Search engine and read people's various interpretations of these four horsemen. It is literally comic book theology. And it's just sad because it externalizes everything, either away from them, back in history, or forward in time. It's never now. And so, Jack Van Impe is probably the worst, but he's
just the helicopters and stuff.
No, about the horses. Well, anyway, let's go on. The last verse, last two verses of chapter 5 were, "And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as they that are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, So be it, or Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever." So, what that's saying to you is that these leaders of heaven, so to speak, are loving only. They're worshiping, loving. They're giving breath only to the Lord and His Lamb. Now we start seeing the contrast. And you see the contrast of this by opening the seals. What? But
I'm waiting for the action here.
How come there was a black hole over you for about 3 seconds?
It's a cloud, it's a little weather.
And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. That's the whole message of the book of Revelation. Come and see. Come and see. Come for maybe the first time in your life and look from the top down instead of the bottom up. Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. As I said before, the action of the book, now it's really the action of the human race, starts in chapter 6. The Lamb opened the seal. The seven seals, or the seven trumpets, the seven vials, the seven plagues represent linear time. Remember, the true Exodus, for which the first Exodus typified, was Jesus Christ leaving time. Because everything in time is the world. And he was, his Passover, the Passover which prefigured his true Passover, was his Exodus, was the Exodus from the world, which is the eternal type of the world. I mean, from Egypt, which is the eternal type of the world, and his Exodus into eternity. Now, when Peter died, when he said that, in 1 Peter, he said, 1st or 2nd Peter, I forget which, but anyway, he says that my decease is about to happen. The word used is a peculiar word. It's his Exodus is about to happen. His physical Exodus, even though his spiritual Exodus had occurred on the cross. Now his physical Exodus was happening. Now every time we celebrate Passover every year, and every time we do the Agape Feast on Sunday, which is the mini Passover, we are celebrating our Exodus from time, because the gift of God is eternal life. And every time when we celebrate and the bojos pass out the wine and the bread, we are celebrating and feeding on the bread of the face or the bread of the presence, so that there is no more breath given to anything in time and space. We love the Lord is a verb, love, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, because everything is finished. Now, that's the only reason. The only reason we meet together. The only reason for studying the Scriptures. The only reason for living life to the fullest is so that you can bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. And repentance is really you leaving time. Repentance is an exodus. Now, the continual and constant enemy of the exodus is this first horse. We'll see why. And it doesn't depend. This one guy's got, he's named these horsemen. Now, this website I went to, I don't even remember who it is. Anyhow.
What's this guy's name?
I don't remember.
Are you one of them?
Now, you remember, and we've talked about this many times, that in times of peace, in times of spirit in ancient Israel, the horse was illegal in Israel. Just like any kind of drama or plays that people watched, just like any sports activities that people watched, because you weren't supposed to watch anything. You were supposed to live and be the thing you watched. You remember the whole mystery of the searching of the Scriptures with the Hebrew mind, which is the mind that doesn't see all these descriptive adjectives and verb tenses. When you read, and God said, let there be light, in Hebrew it's God is now saying, let there be light. When Abel was killed by Cain, he was doing it then, and you were the one that was killing him. And every aspect of the study of the Scriptures in the ancient times was based on that. And they studied the Scriptures in a 3-year cycle, and Christ was with the disciples for those 3 years to show that he alone was the fulfillment of all of these Scriptures. Because everything in the Old Testament was a type or a trope or a parable of Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the Desired of the Nations. As we've said so often, the four Gospels reveal him in his fullness from different aspects. The letters reveal or are an expression of that fullness in his people, the finishedness. And the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ throughout all of time and space. It's not a book about predicting the future. So now we see the only enemy of all of this beautiful scene in the heavenlies, in the New Jerusalem, where all of the courses of the priesthood. Remember, there were 144,000 priests and 24 courses, and they had innumerable duties. They never stopped. And so because the duties never stopped, therefore there was no seats in the temple. So now we have all of the elders of the 24 courses, all of the points of the cardinal points of the compass, everything was finished and they're worshiping the Lamb. Except this one guy that's riding on the white horse. Now, in order for you to begin to understand and not make this comic book theology with these fierce horsemen that you've all seen, you've got to see that that horse, the first horse that starts the process, is your idea. You're going forth conquering and to conquer. And the horses never run alone. Some of you have 3,000 or 4,000 horses out at the same time, and they just keep coming. They keep coming because every time it goes wrong, as we'll see, that's what the process is. Then you let out a new horse to solve it. So the horses are your idea. The first horse is your idea about how to solve anything, how to do anything except love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Now, there's an interest. Go left a few pages back to James. It's right after Hebrews. Chapter 1, verse 12. Now you've got to hear this in light of these horses. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now you endure temptation by abiding with the mind of Christ. Abiding in emptiness, certain of the Lord's faithfulness. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which isn't this stupid crown on the white guy, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. But let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, his own idea, his own desire for something to change. Because that lust, that desire for a thing, is what unlocks the door for the white horse and the horseman to come out. Now listen. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin hath finished, it bringeth forth death. Now that's a good thing. You want to follow all your lusts, all your desires, until you find out there is no purpose in them except to cause you to have more lust. I have seen the travail which God hath given the sons of men to be humbled or exercised in it, to come to the end of all of the horses.
Yeah, this seems like a parallel passage to that one.
There's a whole lot of them.
There's
another one just like it in Matthew 24, and there's another one just like it in Job.
There's also somewhere in there it talks about lust. You know, why are there wars? That was sort of tying in the conquering.
That's in James 4.
Yeah.
5. No, James 4. From whence cometh wars and fighting among you? Cometh they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You can even, you just change that and say, even of your white horse that's got a great idea. Then you have people that come and teach you how to have ideas. If you can see it, if you can conceive it, you can see it. If you can see it, it's yours. Just keep pumping that energy into it. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war and yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? That's not any kind of, that's not a particular, that's not like being friendship with all those liberal left or the, it's friendship with anything in time and space. What? Anything that we are doing in the name of God. You agree with that? You can't be in the name of God and think anything should be different than it is. If you do think, if something is there, you don't act on it. You don't try to decide how to fix it or do it. You ask amiss to consume it on your own lusts. But in His name, if you say, then whatever that thing is now on His shoulders, not on yours. The government must always be on His shoulders. Now, most of the, you know, when you read commentaries, which is, I'm not going to do that anymore. That just makes me furious. They say, because this is a white horse, that's Jesus. So here again, not only in Daniel 9 do they call the Antichrist Jesus. Now, they're calling Jesus the something because of what it says. We saw a white horse. Okay, let's just stop there a minute. Now let's go to Revelation 19. Verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. But these are legitimate crowns. Not the, we'll see the word in a minute.
19:11.
Yeah. Now we're in 12. His eyes were as a flame, thank you, Josanna. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This Bible isn't the Word of God. It's words about the Word. But if you believe what John said, so is everything else in the universe. Everything in the universe is words about the Word. It takes you a lifetime to figure that out. So, you understand that there's two different horses here. There is the White House and the White House, yeah. The white horse with who's riding on it is the Word of God, and now there's the white horse in chapter 6 that is the instead of the Word of God. And what is the instead of the Word of God? Your ideas. Your plans. Your defined course of action. So we got Christ and the Antichrist and his minions. You gotta see this, otherwise everything I teach you is you will just ignore it and go make plans. Do you have the courage to stop? you have the integrity to stop, to never again do something for which it has been shown you over and over and over again that it will lead to nothing. Don't be the dog eating his own vomit. Don't be the pig returning to its own mire. Unless you can show me a really good idea. I've been challenging you to do that for 30 years. Oh, so now you don't even, now you're afraid of that, so you're not going to tell me your ideas. You're just going to go do it. You wonder why one of our elders has met with me maybe 5 or 6 times in 30 years? And probably two of the recent ones have been in the last 2 weeks.
This is no good rotten sleazebag. Yeah.
No, it's because you don't want your ideas challenged. You don't want, it's you riding the horse, by the way, you don't want somebody to knock you off that stupid horse. Yeah, I'll give you backup. On his head. And wait a minute, where are we? We're back in chapter 6. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow. He's got a bow, but he didn't have any arrows. No arrows in your quiver. You got imaginary arrows. You shoot at imaginary targets, and you hit an imaginary bullseye and go into psychic debt. Because you've already enjoyed the pleasure of the thing that you are searching for, and so when you achieve it, it doesn't give you any pleasure. In fact, it gives you more debt. You got it? This bow is powerful in your mind. Man, it's a big bow. You got the biggest bow that's ever been. All the world is wondering after their bow. Am I talking to anybody?
Their power, their potential.
But no arrows. Anybody hear me this morning? And a crown was given to him.
Same crown as another crown?
No. And this crown is a Stephanos in Greek. And it's the crown that you win if you win a hand of poker or you win a race. Or
when I worked at Burger King, we had Burger King crown.
You got a Burger King.
He was about 6'5" and he put 2 up on his head. We had, you know, he worked there too.
You worked at Burger King?
Yeah, right after college. It was my first job. But at one point for a promotion, we had to wear those cardboard crowns.
So you had to wear a crown.
So you know what we're talking about.
I feel it.
It was just the crown that, and there are many crowns that Christ has. He's Lord of Lords, so it's a diadem. It's the legitimate crown of rulership. The Stephanos is this stupid little cardboard crown that you get for doing something that you or your parents think is good. You ever see parents that keep encouraging their children, making one of them? Oh, I just want the best for my children. No, you don't. You want to eat their flesh. You want to gain sustenance and satisfaction from their accomplishments. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody that doesn't know? But you either want one of these crowns for you, one of these Stephanos, these little, or you want one for your somebody that's near you. You say, oh, I knew him. This street reminds me of Paris. I'm sorry.
No, we didn't actually say that, did they?
No,
one
no.
Thing 25 years ago.
No, it was 25 times in one day.
Never let it go. Never let it go like a damn pit bull.
Well, I would let it go if you did. Oh, New Jersey is so beautiful. I just love it in New Jersey. He goes back, and he's going back next week. He'll be there 2.5 days, and he's, oh, shit, get me out of here.
How do you know I'm going?
You told me.
You actually listened to me?
Every once in a while, something sneaks in. So anyway, you get the idea. He has a crown. But not the diadem. He has a Stephanos, but not the diadem. But the biggie is.
This is cool because you got the Antichrist getting these Stephanos and thinking he's really got something, but it's not the diadem. To be worn by.
Well, but it's like if you think of heaven as the place of the crown, and you think of Burger King as the place of the Stephanos, then you can get the 5 jillion little Stephanos, and you'll eat dust for your sustenance. But that's why everything, even in religion, everything rewards the winner. And it just makes me crazy. Because we're just doing our best for Jesus. No, you're not. You're doing your best for the Antichrist. All right. But the point of it is, he's going forth what does it say? He went forth conquering and to conquer, but it's all imaginary. You've left the rest. This is what Esau did. When he was hungry, so he sold his birthright for a pot of red beans. Well, I mean, that's pretty bad. But daily, what do you sell your birthright for? For a glance? For an attaboy? At least he was hungry. All right, where are we? But the point is, you always, that's the point. You wouldn't have the idea and you wouldn't give the idea any breath unless you are going forth to conquer. Going forth conquering and to conquer. I mean, you got an issue. So you've got to have an idea. So you've got to get on your horse and you've got to ride. You're going forth conquering and to conquer. You've got the bow with its imaginary arrows and you're on this beautiful white horse in your mind and everything is going to be wonderful. You have the integrity of a pissant.
I'm remembering being on a horse in summer camp when I was a kid. And before I really knew how to ride a horse, and we started to gallop, and I was lost. I mean, they got away. I couldn't make it stop galloping.
Yeah, that's
how it works. Gallop, not control. Well, we're on. That's enough for today. Since I'm on my rollover minutes. Do you have a better feel for all this? I don't want you to just know about it. I want you to live it and not let the horses out anymore.
Why would this, behold, I stand at the door and knock, somehow tying in here? If we open that door and we see rightly, and we are welcome in, then this other place won't be
You remember what I've
our
remember what I've told you forever? That him knocking is every time you become aware of a need. That's him knocking.
Yeah.
And so instead of jumping on the horse, you open the door.
Those are the two.
I mean, in this, again, in this, in this little comic book. But no, we got to ascribe greatness to these. It's just your stupid little ideas what this white horse is. Doesn't matter how many of them you have and where they are. Doesn't matter whether they've worked or not. The point is you've denied the finishedness of Christ. You've denied his finished work. You are in opposition and in instead of place to all of the heavens, all of the finished work. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But no, I can't let that happen. I got to go forth conquering and to conquer.
Yeah, no, his finished work isn't something that he did 2,000 years ago and wrapped up. His finished work is Christ in you, complete.
And that's why it's important for you to know that who is the Antichrist? The Antichrist is he that denieth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Is come. You're not even supposed to wish Godspeed to anyone. You ever see that? Go to 1 John or 2 John or one of those little Johns. Go to little Johns. Well, it's in 1 John, we know, but now go to 2nd. Just go to 2nd John. Verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. Whoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. The evil deed is the one that doesn't know. It's any deed, any thought, by the one that doesn't know Jesus is Lord at that moment, so therefore everything is perfect. Now, this is pretty strong. You know, the
you have to say Godspeed is may the Antichrist be successful in you.
Remember all the times it says after the third admonition reject. My God, I'd have had to kick myself out 23 times. All righty, take it big guy.